Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Is it just me, or are the weeks really flying by now as we head into the fourth quarter? It's 8:11, time for Dean Richards Entertainment News, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design.
I saw Christmas decorations in a store the other day.
Oh, yeah. I think they've been up for like 2 months now. What's the big headline of the day in your world, Dean?
Well, let's see. We've got a bunch of pretty big stories, I guess. A sad note, showbiz death to report. One of the mainstay actors in the Rocky movie, starting in the very first one, Burt Young, has passed away. He played Adrian's brother, Rocky's brother-in-law, Paulie, in the movie, famously in that meat locker scene where Rocky is sparring with sides of beef. He was a terrific actor, was in six of the Rocky movies. He was also in Chinatown and Once Upon a Time in America, and in The Sopranos. Sylvester Stallone on Instagram posted, to my dear friend Burt Young, "You are an incredible man and artist. I and the world will miss you very much." He was 83 years old.
I didn't get your crib sheet today, so I'm not sure what else is on your list.
My spontaneous ad lib.
Yes, that I have. Please.
John Stamos is also in the buzz this morning because we don't have enough celebrity memoirs out right now. He has also written one that'll be coming out this coming Tuesday that is called If You Would Have Told Me. In it, Stamos reveals that he was sexually abused as a child, said that he was abused by a babysitter when he was 10 or 11 years old, packed the memory away, and it really didn't come out until he started writing this book. He has gone on to be an advocate for sexual abuse survivors. Also, let me see what else do we have here today. I should have sent myself the crib notes.
By the way, has Will Smith said anything? I mean, I know Jada Pinkett Smith was talking about their relationship, and it sounded like it's off, but is it?
Well, Will did have a comment. Not on the latest thing that Jada has said, but he acknowledged that there had been problems. He acknowledged, that he's was, you know, just trying to be a good husband to her, even though they've been separated for 6 years. I can't take any more of these memoirs and these.
Is that it's a book? It's a Jada.
Well,
Pinkett
Jada
book?
Jada's book. Oh. Jada's statements and comments are all coming from a book. Britney Spears, all coming from a memoir right now, and now we've got the John Stamos. Also, a little follow up on Suzanne Somers. We are now learning that she did not seek out conventional cancer treatment before she died. She passed away this past Sunday, diagnosed with breast cancer that had reoccurred. She's been battling breast cancer for 25 years and really has not taken the traditional treatments, chemotherapy, radiation. She's chosen a more holistic route in fighting the cancer, which has worked for her for quite a long time until now. People now are saying they wish she had sought out conventional treatments. There's also a buzz online as well that after she sort of left show business, she didn't entirely, but her side business became being a health advocate, selling organic products, and fancying herself as a health expert. And there are lots of people in the medical community for years now, not just since she's passed away, but for years said you need to be careful about celebrities who claim to be health experts, not just her, but like people like Gwyneth Paltrow and others. They are not doctors, and you need to proceed with caution. But with regard to Suzanne Summers' holistic cancer remedies that she followed, her family said that she was very happy with it. She never regretted her decision to do that. And on this last go round, said she was prepared to go.
Yeah, she was battling cancer for a long time, wasn't she?
Yeah, like 25 years. She's had this very aggressive form of breast cancer, which she she did hold off for a long time.
Dean, we haven't heard the name Jussie Smollett for a while, but now he's back in the news again.
Does he
isn't
have
he?
A memoir out?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, one of these days we'll look for that. Now he's having even more trouble than the legal trouble that he's in here in Chicago regarding the appeal of his conviction. He is still awaiting the decision on that, but now there are reports this morning that he's checked himself into rehab. He's checked himself into an outpatient program at a rehab treatment facility. We do not know for what treatment he is there for. A representative said that he's had an extremely difficult past few years. He's been quietly working very hard for some time, and they say they are proud of him for taking these necessary steps. If you'll remember, he was sentenced to jail time and probation after he was convicted of staging that hate crime here in Chicago. He was released from jail, has now appealed the conviction. The appeal was argued last month, and a ruling awaits on that.
Taylor Swift apparently hasn't been making enough money from her touring and the movie, so she decided to release some music, didn't she?
Some new music. It's actually new music from the movie. It's the very first song when you go to see the movie, which, Bob, I know you will be doing this weekend. You can't wait. He's been making friendship bracelets for the last week.
I do want to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
All right. I can't wait for your review on it. The first song that she sings in the movie is her song Cruel Summer. So she has released a live version of it now. Here, take a listen, won't you?
Yeah, I like that song. Hey, I'm a Swiftie.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah. The statement that she put on Instagram then is for you. She says she wants to thank fans who have gone to the theaters, quote, dancing and prancing and recreating the choreography. She says you can now shriek to it in the comfort of your own home and in your car.
Well, I don't dance, and people
prance?
Ask me to.
Do you prance?
No, no.
No dancing or prancing?
I always tell people when they ask, did you watch American Bandstand? Did Dick Clark ever jump off the bandstand and start dancing with the kids? No.
Yeah.
He just introduced the music.
Yeah,
that's me.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
You had fun talking to Martin Scorsese, huh?
I did. We had a nice chat the other day about his new movie, Killers of the Flower Moon. Some of you may have read this story. It is a very compelling story, a true story, about serial murders of members of the oil-wealthy Osage Nation in Oklahoma. Leonardo DiCaprio stars, Robert De Niro stars in this movie, and I chatted with Mr. Scorsese himself about choosing this story.
I'm so interested in how you chose this story, what compelled you, and when you choose stories, what it is that you look for.
Well, in a case like this, the book was given to me by my manager, and Leo DiCaprio was attached to it, and Leo and I had good experiences in the past, so to speak. So, I took it very seriously. But, I also am a product of Hollywood cinema, besides Italian and British and others, but mainly Hollywood cinema of the 1940s and 50s. I was born in 42. A key factor were the genres, and one of my favorite genres, or maybe the favorite for me, was the Western. Now, I think the Western, that cycle of American Westerns, with that history and that point of view, et cetera, good and bad, ended with Sam Peckinpah's Wild Bunch. So, in a way, I'd always wanted to make something to do with the West. I even shot Alice Doesn't Live Anymore in the Southwest of the country. So, for me, I was always drawn to it.
Yeah, it's a really compelling movie. The acting in this movie, Lily Gladstone is the love interest to Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie. So it meant it's a love story, but it's also a story of deceit and greed and betrayal. It's very, very, very compelling. I'll give you a full review on this tomorrow. I will tell you this, though, if you're thinking about, you know, planning on going to see this movie over the weekend, it is 3 hours and 26 minutes long.
Hmm.
It is a long, 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 long movie. So I don't know why directors do that. I don't know why.
I think, is it because now these directors, and certainly Scorsese, would have the power of the final cut? And, you know, back in the day when directors didn't have that, somebody in the studio would probably say, hey, cut this down. But now they can't say that. Is that the reason we're getting all these long movies?
Yeah, and I think it's also because of streaming. You know, it's a whole different world now, and directors... you know, they want their full, quote, vision to be seen, and it can be seen now on streaming, so that's the way they deliver these movies. But remember, back in the day, you'd get a usable-length movie, and then later on they would put out a director's cut, which was much longer, usually. I don't know why they just can't do that now, because that's a deal-breaker for a lot of people. To sit in a theater for 3.5 hours watching a movie, that's a lot to ask the average person to.
Well, now that, and Best Buy just announced they're going to stop selling DVDs, so DVDs are going away where you had the director's cut. Is there such a thing as a director's cut stream version?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
there
absolutely there are.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I was, you know, very, I was drawn into this movie. I loved it. And I got to say, I mean, I'm not a fan of long movies. I didn't feel like I had to look at my watch during this whole thing, but there's a fair amount of planning that goes into going to see a movie that's 3.5 hours long.
Yeah,
that's a long time to take out of your day.
Well, I should mention that in my contract, I have final say over how long the show is. The management wanted it 10 minutes, but I insisted on 4 hours.
Mm, yeah, see, that's the power of being a Bob Surratt.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Dean.